What is up, After Buzzers? Welcome back to another Jet After Show. Today we're going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 6, Josie. We meet Henry and we play a very intense game of Hangman. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, AfterBuzzers? Welcome back to our sixth episode of Jet. We're really getting through this season. There is a lot happening, a lot ramping up. We've had some gore in this episode. I'm so excited to talk about it. Not only are we going to break down the episode, but we have an amazing special segment where we're going to break down a female thief for you guys, and we have some predictions, we have some news, so stay tuned to the very end. It's going to be a great show. As always, I'm your host, Taylor Gaze, and I am joined by two lovely panelists today. To my left, I have just one Jackie today.
Yeah, Jackie Nova.
And to her left, we have Tatiana.
Hey, I'm Tatiana Marisa.
All right, guys, without further ado, let's talk about this episode, because this was, like, one of the most intense ones I think that we've seen. What did you guys think of this overall?
Oh, my God, I don't know who wants to go first, but I guess I will. I was biting my nails. If you took close-up, don't want to look at the nails. Anyways, super on the edge of your seat. I mean, the Hangman.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
I'm not even going to talk about it. I feel like I'm going to spill juices if I start talking about it. I just know it was very intense, very dramatic, very bloody and gory, and I loved every minute of it.
I'm not a gory person. I hate gore, okay? Don't like blood. My daughter has a wiggly tooth, and it makes me nauseous, okay? Like, that's how much I don't like gore. So I watched this, and I was like, you know, half the time.
Well, I felt like we had, like, crossed the genre of just, like, action and, like, sleek thriller to, like, straight-up horror. Like, that felt like a Saw movie or something.
Yes.
We'll get to that, though. We'll save that to the end because we have to end with a bang, I think.
Yeah.
Let's start off by talking about this flashback, because we do have one flashback in this episode. I love that that is kind of something that they've integrated into every week, different stories. This week we met McKay, and I think that we met Charlie in this flashback, too, which was really interesting. Right. So we had Jet and Quentin, RIP, miss him so dearly, robbing a safe for Charlie, and Charlie talks about how, you know, he's ripping him off, and the guy tried to lowball Quentin, too, and Charlie, in classic Charlie fashion, just shoots him in the trunk. What did you guys think about this flashback, Jackie?
I love the flashbacks. I do love how they are bringing that back, because it digs deeper into the storyline, and it's like, oh, that's how Charlie met Jet. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't even calling her Jet yet, because he was like, he was very dumbfounded by her beauty and by her, like, whatever matter of fact how she is. So he was still calling her Daisy. So, but yeah, that backflash was like, wow. There's several backflashes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really, it was intense. And he just shot him like, oh, shoot.
You know, as one classic does. Charlie. Do what you gotta do.
That's Charlie. Yeah, classic.
I thought it was funny how he was like, beat his teeth in. Like, he kept wanting them to, you know, kill people or, like, slash people and see some violence, you know. And they were just like, no, that's not my style.
Yeah, we've talked about that. We're like, Jet's not, you know, really a killer. She doesn't really seriously injure people unless she has to. And I think that that really came out during this flashback. That's what I immediately thought of. I'm like, oh, she's not the type to just hurt people. It has to be like, she has to be wanting to get something else, like, from them. It's not just, you know.
I felt like Charlie was even more interested in Jet just because of that, because his facial expression when the camera went on him, when he was just like, you know, basically kill this guy in the trunk, and she was just dead cold, like, no, you know, like, still, and nope, it's not gonna, that's not me.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of like, ooh.
100%. We see that a little bit later, too. Again, just her stoicness in every single situation. Mm-hmm. She's just so, like, shows no emotion. She's like, I wasn't insulted. It was just unprofessional. Like, I just love some of her lines.
Like, you were insulted. You were. I know it. I like how in the flashback, we kind of see a little bit of Junior in Charlie, because he was kind of flippant and kind of crazy and outlandish, and so very hot-headed, and so I thought, oh, now I see where he gets it from, you know, because Charlie's pretty I wouldn't say chill, but he's pretty collected.
Yeah.
You know, he's very collected, and obviously Junior isn't. And so to see him this, he was kind of like, woo!
Yeah. He was wild.
Ready to do anything, yeah.
He was wild. Because of the younger years.
100%.
What 10 years can do to you, right? Mm-hmm.
That decade.
It's true.
I don't know that Junior will ever get there, though.
He is straight up scary.
He's terrifying.
Yes. God.
I can't. Okay, we'll get to that, too. I keep wanting to talk about it.
It's like the biggest thing in the entire episode.
I will never get it out of my head. But before we got there, we had McKay and Jet teaming up to do another job. Which is, we kind of had the beginning of it at the tail end of the last episode with Nolan in the car. And we meet Gladys and Sal, this like super seemingly cute, sweet old couple who does just everything together. But I really liked the sequences to see this sort of job. I think last week we didn't like have like a primary like job that they were doing. So I'm glad that we got back into that, even if it came at the expense of this sweet theater-loving couple.
I mean, they haven't been harmed yet.
True. That's
right.
Okay.
So they're still sweet and unassuming.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I think they're trying to keep them sweet and unharmed.
But I love how they like did a lot of intense planning and kind of the stakeout, and you know, Jet goes in and disables the alarm and they figure out all the schedules. And I love when she's like hanging on to the bottom of the car, like in the gardeners, and goes right in. I'm like, ooh, I love how sleek that was.
Yeah. Like when they were pulling up, I was like, oh my god, so is she gonna get out and go behind the bushes? Like, what is she gonna do? And then when she went immediately underneath the van, I was just like, oh, that's slick. That makes sense.
I like how they did the two split screen. It was very like Ocean's 11.
Yes.
That's the vibe
the
I kept
music
getting.
Over it. Yeah. And so I really like, and she, you know, she was all dressed in black. It was like classic thief.
Yeah, you know, it really was. Because she wears all these really elaborate, very cool costumes. But I agree with you. I like the classic just black, like, let's just get in there and
Absolutely. Let's
do it.
Well, you notice every time she is about to commit her little scandalous thieving, she's always in black. And it's got that hat and the glasses. Bam.
It's the classic, man.
She's right. Yes.
If it ain't broke, let's not fix it.
That's right.
Before we get into too much of what goes on right after they do the sort of stakeout, Jackie, can you tell everyone a little bit about what's happening here at AfterBuzz TV?
Yes, here at AfterBuzz, thank you so much for watching us and making us the ESPN of TV talk. That's right, ESPN. Did you want to hear it again? ESPN of TV talk. We love being here. We want you, and the way this works, like if you guys just keep sharing and sharing and sharing and subscribe and write comments and thumbs ups and likes and just do all that and keep sharing it. And we totally appreciate it because we love what we do here at AfterBuzz TV. We absolutely love it. So please keep on sharing it. And AfterBuzz TV, this is like the bomb diggity. We love what we do and we can keep on giving you what we do, what we love by you guys watching. Keep on tuning in. Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much. It's a team effort, like a heist effort. Is. This is also a team effort.
Oh, I love that correlation.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes,
very nice.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Very nice.
Trying to connect it, but it's true. It's always, you know, everything's better in a little group. Can't do it alone. But let's talk a little bit about, okay, so we have Nolan again. Jet spies Nolan outside in the car, but he's not with his wife. He is with a younger blonde woman.
His
shocking.
Secretary.
We've never had that happen in this show. What? An affair.
Life.
Yeah. What? Who's that? So we kind of get another scene, which kind of reminded me of when Jet goes to like the nursing home and talks to the receptionist. She goes and talks to Nolan's receptionist, who is Vicky, who ends up being the blonde woman. I love how she's just so no nonsense. Like, she doesn't care. She's getting in one way or another.
I was waiting for the
Me too.
Yeah. I was waiting for the slap.
Yeah,
I was waiting. Didn't happen.
Not
this time, but I was waiting for it.
Madison with an E.
Right? We need a montage of her just like being done with this young receptionist because she's not here for them.
No,
and it's kind of funny how that just keeps popping up. But eventually she goes and talks to Nolan and she's like, listen, who is this woman? I don't care if you're having an affair. I literally don't care. I just need to know what I'm dealing with, who I'm dealing with. And I love that. She's just, she's so non-judgmental. She's like, she truly doesn't care what anyone does with her life. She just needs to know what's happening. She's all business.
Yeah. I thought she was going to slam her against the wall. Like, listen, you're responsible now. Because she basically said, this, you're responsible. This is on you now. Like, make sure this doesn't go awry. Make sure that this ding-dong, you know, Nolan, does not pop up at the scene of the crime. Like, what is going on with that?
I think she knew who was running the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she did. She was.
She totally knew who was running the show.
She knew.
Because Nolan acted like he was running the show when he had the first meeting with her and everything. Yeah. And he was, like, the one in charge. And then once she met her, she was like, oh,
well,
she's
got him. It's Vicky.
It's Vicky. Because Vicky's a woman and she's got the goods.
That's
right. So,
I mean, she knows how the power dynamic works. Yeah. She's been in this situation before.
Yeah.
Too many times.
Unfortunately, what she didn't sort of see coming was that Vicky also has a little boo who also knows everything that's going on, who's, I wouldn't say that he's necessarily pulling the puppet strings, but he's very much more in this than I think Jet would want. So everything's going pretty well when they, you know, rob the car, they get it in the semi-truck, they have Frank, you know, drop our little old couple off at the theater. I love how just, like, domestic and, like, yes. cute and, like, old people yeah. that is.
I felt a sense of, like, from the older gentleman, I felt like he had a sense of, like, awareness and, like, ooh, he something was is about to go wrong. Like, he felt his spidey senses were going off.
He was definitely skeptical.
Right?
Yeah, and he even took a look back at the car before he yes. went into mm-hmm. the theater.
Yeah.
So he was, but the wife was like, yeah, this is great.
Wife's like, we're gonna go out on a date.
She's ready for her $15 glass of wine that she takes in.
When you have a bargain, you got a bargain. Like car right. service, free tickets.
I wouldn't question it. I'd be like, you know what? I do. Yeah. I earned this night.
I deserve
night.
This.
I've been a patron for 30 years. Like, yeah. This was what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was so funny. Like, that. I mean, they're robbing a house, but they're also taking someone to the theater to see Richard Kind. I thought that was great.
Great juxtaposition.
Who? What is the mystery guy's name?
Henry.
Henry?
You mean the boyfriend?
Yeah.
Henry. Henry. Mm-hmm. Okay, Henry. He's got a complex, like a really big complex.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
know how many times when we listened to his speech that he said, we're on the same page, we're on the same page. You're not smarter than me.
Yeah.
He's got a serious issue.
And I mm-hmm. love how you can just tell she doesn't believe that.
No.
At all, because it's not true, but I love right. how she's just, like, she didn't even seem that scared to me. Mm-hmm. When he walks in with the gun, she's like, oh, shoot, this again? Like,
yeah.
She knows how to get out of it already, I think.
Right, but I think that's the downfall that she had, because she was like, this dude is so not with it, which is why, you know, we all know what happened. She got clunked in the head, so...
And she
kind of left her guard down a little bit because she wasn't expecting.
But before that, I love how I feel like she doesn't care about Evan so much that she's like, well, I'm going to teach you how to use this Mia's leverage. And, like, I'll tell you where this somebody is. Like, she doesn't care about this case. She's doing this because she needs to get through it in a way.
Yeah.
But I did find it interesting that she said that her name was Maria, though.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that, Tatiana?
I thought it was, like, the first name that came to her mind, honestly.
Which is sweet.
She's thinking about her. I mean, she's super ill, and, you know, that's why I thought, oh, Maria, you know.
Yeah.
You don't look like a Maria.
I'm like, okay.
And it's like,
what do you say? You don't look like Hispanic descent.
Yeah, yeah, right? And it's like, she does. She actually looks like one of my cousins. Yeah, she totally passed for Spanish.
Yeah.
Italians and Spanish.
Have you guys seen Spy Kids? Come on.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. She plays a Spanish mom.
We talked about this.
I'm just saying.
That is my childhood right there.
Me too. That's what I'm saying.
I think I hit the tail end of the Spy Kids.
Yeah.
That was like my movie.
I love Spy Kids. Oh, my God. I
so
swear she was
pass
Spanish.
For anything she wants to because of that. She's so, you know.
Versatile.
The range.
Yes. The range is huge.
Even though it's somewhat the same character, it's fine. She's got range. But I also love that he was like, take your shirt off. And she was just blatant. No, I won't do it.
That's not gonna happen.
Not happening.
I like it because normally when you watch like any movie or anything with a woman in it, and the guy's like, "Take a shot," she's like, "No, no." She was just like, "No,"
mm-mm.
Like so sure.
Good so try, buddy.
Yeah,
good try. Not gonna happen.
But that's like pretty much the last thing we see of her in this episode, which was interesting because I mean this episode like focused on a lot of secondary characters, which mm-hmm. we thought was really kind of fun. And as much as I love her, I do love learning about all the other characters too. We learn a lot about Maria and Phoenix too. I love that we got a conversation between them in this episode, and they kind of relate really hard over the message, men are trash, essentially, is what I got from their conversation.
Well, I think Maria was very, like, I think she wanted to see who exactly she was letting around Alice. And so she was really to the point and very poignant on her questions. Like, why would I let a drug dealer around my, or a coke addict, like, around my daughter, basically.
Yeah, because, she totally has that vibe, like, this is my daughter, too. We share this child together, Jed and I. Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, I love how open Phoenix is about everything. Like, she doesn't try to even defend her past actions. She owns up to it, and that's why I think that she's such a good character, because she understands that she has made mistakes, but she's also not gonna, like, let that ruin her whole life. I like how she wants to move on, and she's very open and honest about that. And I think that Maria really respected that, too, when they even started bonding about their childhood a little bit. And I thought it was interesting that we learned about Maria's dad and how he, like, was a drug dealer at some point. And I think that sort of hit close to home, like, the fact that Phoenix had struggled with that. Like, I think that these themes just, like, hit everyone, you know, sort of equally, and so it's interesting to see them bond over that.
And they've both been abused.
Yeah.
As well. Yes. It's crazy to me when they were having this conversation that they both basically, like, justified these horrible acts that were done to them. Like, she said, you know, he felt me up. Phoenix said, oh, he felt me up once, and then I told him if he did it again, I'd kill him. And then he didn't. So, you know, he wasn't that bad. You know, I was like, dang, you know, but Maria had a similar story that she didn't get to finish, but she also in turn kind of justified what happened, like, oh, it wasn't that bad, so it's okay. And I was like, what? These women must have lived
the life they lived,
an insane life, to look at that and bond over the fact that, oh, this happened to me, but, you know, it wasn't that bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty deep.
They're so strong. Like,
very strong women.
All the women on the show are just such strong female characters, which is just so refreshing and fun to see in this context, too, because we have, like, obviously, you know, Jet's out there kicking ass, but, like, Phoenix is finding her strength in a sort of, like, maternal way, as is Maria, and I think that's really cool, too, to see it come out in, like, totally different ways. Like, you don't have to be shooting people all the time, although it's very exciting to see for us to be, like, a very, you know, strong person and pushing through all this stuff. So I like how they have that sort of range of experiences and, like, all these like different women.
But Phoenix is also very snoopy.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I would be too. Honestly, like, I would totally snoop around her house. But I think that's going to get her in a ton of trouble.
Yeah, some kind of trouble. Because, I mean, you saw how Jet walked in. I mean, she was exhausted from her night of, like, she was, you know, getting her plan together to do what her next job is. But she walks in and you can see Maria and Phoenix playing and having, like, a good time. And she was just kind of like, it looked like she was going to lean in, like, maybe go towards Alice, but then she was just like, I think in her mind, she was like, they got this. I'm going to go rest.
Yeah. What did you think of that scene? Because I was like, I love that opening on, like, it's such a cute, fun level, but I feel like there's some symbolism there, maybe? I wanted to know how you interpreted that.
I mean, I kind of looked at it as Jet is the worker, you know, and she would like to spend time with her daughter, but she can't. Because now, not only is she supporting her daughter and Maria, now she's supporting Phoenix, which, of course, she's going to do because she has a big heart and, you know, she's maternal in that way, like, taking all these people under her wing. But in the same respect, like, she's looking at them and they're living a completely opposite life that she is. Mm. Like, the work she is putting in to provide for them while they sit home and dance with her daughter. You know, that's got to be a really hard mama moment, almost. You know, like, okay, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks. I'm going to go, you know, try not to shoot people, but also fend for my life. And you guys, you know, bake stuff and draw things and pick her up from school. Yeah, basically have fun. Like, all the things that you're supposed to enjoy as a parent, you know, with your kid, and she hasn't been able to. Like, I think in this entire season she hasn't, like, let loose with her daughter, other than her reading to her daughter before she went to bed, where she got shot, and she was like, you got shot? She was like, I got a shot. You know? And then, like, that was it.
That's difficult, because she came right from prison, boom, and it's just like, job that she did not intend to start or do, and then it just kept on going.
That's so true. I think that I forget when I watch this show sometimes that she wanted out of this life, and she was pulled back into it. So I think you're right. There's probably, like, a sense of longing there too. Like, she wanted to have this, but because of her past, like, she Can't have it right now. Just so sad.
She made the wrong choice.
She did. Man.
I'm sure there's like, there'll be some cool vacation, but then I'm sure there's going to be a job she'll have to do within that vacation.
Exactly. It's like there's no winning.
She'll end up training somebody to like take her place.
Phoenix?
Mm. Wait.
Ooh. I love this.
Predictions.
Ooh, that would be on. So
that would be really cool.
That would be
that
wicked.
Would be so cool.
Okay, I'm here for this.
So if you guys are listening and you're writing the next season, idea.
Just throwing it out there. Just throwing it. You're welcome. There's it for free.
You can train us.
Wait, yeah.
We're okay, badasses. We're
no, I would be way too. I could not handle it. I would be the Bobby. I would be the Bobby in this situation.
No, no. Don't be the Bobby. No. Don't say that. Don't put that on yourself.
I would be the Bobby.
No.
Let's talk about him. Bobby. Let's talk about this scene.
Poor Bobby.
Gosh. Josie goes to talk to Bobby. Josie was kind of like a badass in this episode. I know that some people on this panel are not Team Josie.
I feel bad for her now. Honestly. I feel bad for her now.
Okay, finally.
I feel bad.
She's just trying. Like, she went to Bobby. She was like, listen, I am a cop. Fun fact, surprise. But I want to protect you because you are in danger, boy. Like, you're in danger. And he made a bad decision. It was like, no, get out of my house. Like, I love him.
I think he was trying to protect her, though, because once he found out, oh, you're a cop, and that means that Junior knew all along, obviously, that she was a cop, then he was like, get out of here. You know, not only just don't talk to me, but, like, he knows Junior's nuts.
He knows he's nuts. Who knows him better than Bobby? Right. Bobby knows Junior is out of his freaking mind.
So I think he knows that he would do something.
Because that's not even right. Because that's not even Bobby's character to be like, get the F out.
Yeah,
that's all, like, you know. And so he was just like so adamant about it. Like, get, and it was just like, whoa. He does. He's such a little like puppy.
That's interesting. I hadn't actually thought of that before you just said that, but I think that does make more sense than him. I was just like, oh, like, he feels betrayed by Junior, like, he feels, I don't know, or by her, like, he just feels betrayed, so he's acting on an impulse. But I think that your theory actually makes a lot of sense, that he, because he is sort of like a sacrificial person in some ways, and so, oh, that makes it even sadder,
makes
man.
It even worse.
Oh my God.
Shoot.
But that also means he's a loose cannon. I mean, loose in the fact that, like, he just talks to anybody. I mean, he sat down and told her his problems with Junior.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's, they don't know each other.
He's not meant for this life.
No, he's not.
Smart.
How did he get roped into this? Is what I'm, like, that's my question. Like, was he just at a party? But, like, this kid is not from here.
No.
I think Junior saw moldability, is that a word?
Yes.
Moldability. Junior saw the moldability of Bobby.
But he's not going to be molded.
No, he's not moldable at all.
Well, I think
Junior's failed on that.
I think he's dead. Is he dead?
Yeah.
I'm sure
assuming.
Well, yeah, we're assuming he's dead, but it's, this show is so tricky.
No,
it's, yeah, he's, yeah.
Which, in case you're dead.
Maybe he just said that to scare,
no, I think he's gone.
Do
you really think Junior would have like the heart to do that? Because I think he loved Bobby to a certain extent. I mean, he wanted a boy
he
toy
loved
as
him
well,
so
but
much.
Yeah, that'll actually be interesting.
I can't wait for the next episode. Honestly, like, really,
she's like, that's too much.
We will have to see, because
we'll
this
to too much. Death.
The end of this like traumatized me. I'm going to be honest with you. Before we got to the end, though, we did have a couple of. Not even progress. I would say this is like one step forward, two steps back between Josie and Jackie. Yeah. Jackie is on a breakfast date with his wife, goes to the bathroom for the 80th time to
because
call
he's
Josie.
Pounding sangria like it was water.
Okay, that's a mood though. Like, let's not judge him for that.
I think he broke up with his wife over that.
Over the sangria?
I mean, like, I think when they were having their breakfast date, I think he broke up with his wife.
I think his wife broke up with him.
Something.
Yeah, that's what it sounds
like. Because
happened.
He showed up drunk to Josie's house and was, like, basically trying to get her back. And so that kind of, I kind of took that as a sign, like, oh, maybe he ended it with his wife and was like, forget it, you're going to sleep with another guy. And, just having to say, the other guy that Josie was with.
Bill Phil,
yeah.
Bill Phil, poor
didn't
guy.
Look, didn't it look just
he
like
sort
Jackie?
Of looked at
he
Jackie.
Did look just like Jackie.
That's why I was like, wait, what?
She's
she have
got
a twin
type.
Brother?
She's got a type.
Yeah.
And that is the feeling that I got when I saw that Jackie came to Josie's house. I was like, oh, okay. They didn't tell us in that scene that they broke up, but it's like you can tell they
He's
were
drunk.
In the verge. He's drunk. He's missing her. I mean, she's doing something to him, boy, because he's just like,
I was shocked that there was actually a date there, to be honest. I was like, oh, she's lying. Like, there's no one here. Like, no. She's saying that to make him jealous. But there was actually someone there for a hot second.
That looks like him, sort of.
For a hot second.
For a hot second.
Yeah.
Because then we get Bill Phil. I love that she didn't even know his name. How sad. That poor guy. This episode was not kind to him.
Do you think that this little speech that Jackie gave Josie, do you think he's right? How she wanted, like, a little picket fence and, like, this nice house with a chubby baby, all of that. Do you think that's...
Yeah.
But she didn't want to admit it?
Yeah. I felt it. I felt like... Because if you don't want the picket fence and the whole nine yards and the kids, you're not going to really get that super invested in the guy. You're just going to be kind of like, all right, whatever. You're with your wife. Cool. We'll just do what we do. And then, boom, that's it. But, like, she was just, like, getting jealous, and she's all invested. So it's like, no, she definitely wanted the picket fence. And she was visualizing that, and it just never, it's not going to happen.
And above everything, she doesn't just want that stuff. She wants it with him. Like, she just doesn't want it with just anyone. She obviously wants it with Jackie.
She felt, at this point, I know last week I was like, oh, get her out of here. She's a horrible person. But, like, we actually don't know the story before it, like how they met. So maybe he just lied the whole time until she found out, because she is a detective. So she fell in love with the wrong guy.
Maybe we'll get a flashback.
I'm here for it. I love the flashback so much. I always love that.
I do.
Unfortunately, as soon as Jackie leaves, two men come in and shoot Bill Phil. Never calling him just Phil. It's Bill Phil. And take Josie on a little ride, which was scary. But I didn't really quite know where they were taking her. I don't know if that was just like me being dumb or like, where did you guys think was going to happen? Do you think that they were going to see Junior?
Abandoned warehouse.
Fair.
Which is kind of what it was.
I was like, I don't know. Maybe they'll like surprise me. Like, maybe we'll be fine. Wasn't.
No. It's Junior we're talking about.
I know, but I was like, maybe it's like not Junior. Like, maybe it's something else coming into play. But that was obviously not true.
Yeah. Those were Junior's goons.
Wishful thinking. But they take her to an abandoned warehouse. Mm-hmm. The hangman game. I have chills thinking about
it. I'm never going to play hangman again.
Me neither. I just played it last night at a restaurant. And I'm like, oh my God, did I manifest this?
I love hangman, but I don't know.
Not Russian roulette hangman like not this.
Anymore. That's a disturbing hangman.
Can we just say that the actor, Gentry White, I hope I said his name
so
right.
So good, yeah.
He plays such a good psycho.
Yeah.
He plays such a good psycho, Gentry
White.
He's
great.
And I watched like interviews with him, and does he really have like hints of psychoness in him? And he doesn't. He's a really nice guy.
He's been in AfterBuzz before on BHL, I think, for one of like the... I think next, he's been in the studio before, so Ginger, if you want to come back and hang out with us, come back.
Love to have
But he's, like, the nicest person. I met him when he was in here. He used to be on Unreal, show. Such a sweet character in that. And he's so good at playing so psycho. Like, he's next level. It's terrifying to watch.
He's got that down.
He really does.
He's got it down.
Josie's pretty smart throughout this. So she's not just crying like apparently they're saying Bobby did. She's like, listen, we're building a case against Charlie. We don't have anything on you, which I thought was a pretty smart way to try to get out of the situation.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I feel like she was giving up a lot of information.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I don't really know what he would do with that information per se, but I don't know. I can't even judge what came out of her mouth, because if I was in that situation, who knows?
And you're like, bye.
Adrenaline, fear, you know.
But like, she was just so calm and cool and collected. Like, I mean, you can tell she's had military training. She's had, training to be an officer, because she was just, I mean, any other ordinary person would have been freaking out.
Yeah. She's such a badass, though. Like, even when her hand gets cut off.
I know.
Like, she escapes.
She had the mindset, right? When her hand was chopped off, right? And she just screamed her head off, as one would, I would assume. Yeah. Then she like goes down to grab it and has the mind, the brain power to go, oh, I'm gonna come up and hit these guys with my head. Like, that would be the last thing on my mind, quite honestly. Like, I would be like, oh my gosh, my hand is gone. Like, that would be the only thing on my mind. And then I'd have to, but she was right away. She was like, hand gone. I'm going to get out of here. Boom, boom.
Run. She kind of has nothing to lose, though, if you think about it, too. Like, I think she wants to just either escape, either she's going to escape or she might get shot and it'll be like a faster death than what she's experiencing.
Right.
Yeah.
But I love that. I mean, I didn't love that. That was horrifying, but like also very exciting. Like where she's running through. Was it like a train station?
It seemed like an old abandoned sort of train station.
Or like a subway?
Yeah. Which made for kind of a cool like chase scene, like cat and mouse type thing. And the lights were like, it was dark, it was red, which just again, the cinematography in the show is just
absolutely
awesome. And so sleek and cool. Mm-hmm. And so she, you know, runs. She finally gets a fire extinguisher, jumps down from the little shelf of the subway and hits the guy, which I was like, yes, girl.
Yeah.
She runs up the stairs so quietly, by the way. I could never run up the stairs and be that quiet about it. Like,
you would think after having her freaking hand chopped off, she'd be panting, but nope. She was just stealth. She was very, I mean, like, wow. I was like visualizing, like, what the hell would I do? I'm like, well, I would try to do what she's doing.
It was like,
I would try to do what she's doing because I think instinctually I just want to just get the hell out of there.
It was like full adrenaline. Like she was running purely off of adrenaline.
Oh,
right there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I hate that it's literally her own blood. That makes the people look up. I was like, what a slap in the face.
I know. I like replayed the scene in my mind, but I put her hand on top of her. So.
I know. I kept saying.
What if it happened like this? Then no one would know. It should be safe.
Exactly. I kept saying as the scene is going on, I see that her hand is like down. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, you anticipated it.
Oh, I totally did.
I didn't either. I was totally like, she's great.
I was like, I can't believe she's going to get out. Of course she's going to get out because this is a good show, right? It's a good show and she's going to live.
Like, I'm like, oh, no. Put that hand here. Put it here.
I love how you were so smart about it. You kind of was like, oh, I don't know. We'll see what happens, won't we? But sadly,
it's a lot of cops in the family.
Okay, there you go. Okay. But then she goes up the stairs, runs out, you know, it's like, oh, she's gonna do it. She's gonna be free. And then, you know, Junior's there with the chainsaw. And that's where we end the episode.
But it's crazy because all you hear is
But then if you watch the, like, what's coming up in the next episode, we see her legs.
Yes.
And Jackie, like, touching her legs. So I can only assume that she's dead.
Well, like, we'll see.
Like, your chain sawed her up.
Maybe this is, like, Jackie's... Oh, actually, we'll save this for predictions.
We'll save it for predictions.
Sorry, I got excited and I got ahead of myself. Before we move on to predictions, though, we actually have an awesome special segment for you guys, Female Thieves. Tatiana's been talking us up all day. Tatiana, I'm so excited to hear what you have for us.
Yes.
Oh, the Law and Order side?
Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
So, we do a special segment called... Where we touch... Let me try it out.
Yeah,
we do a special segment where we talk about famous female thieves throughout history. And this one today, we're talking about Patty Hearst.
Mm.
Now, Patty Hearst was actually a wealthy heiress and actress who was kidnapped by a radical left movement called the Symbionese Liberation Army. Okay. After kidnapped, she renounced her parents and joined the SLA to rob banks with them in the 1970s.
Whoa, that was kind of recent.
Traded, yeah, this is a good one because it's recent.
Ooh.
So she basically traded in like all of her money, all of her status, everything, and just decided that this army was better and that she believed in their movement and went and robbed banks with them.
After she was kidnapped?
After she was kidnapped.
What?
Yeah, so they kidnapped her. Some people say it was brainwashed, like they brainwashed her. Some people say, you know what, she had enough of this like money and all the stuff. It's just crap in the end and she just needed a change of pace and so this was her out.
Wow.
So there's a lot of different like theories about that. So she was caught and put in jail where a judge argued that she had been brainwashed. Okay, so there's an argument. She was eventually released and President Jimmy Carter commuted her sentence and later President Clinton wiped her record clean with a presidential pardon. And she's still alive today. Like,
what?
She's still alive.
What?
There's actually a documentary on her life.
I was just going to ask him, like, is there a Lifetime movie about this? Because I will watch it tonight because that sounds like something Lifetime would do and this sounds like something I need to see.
And funny enough, because of her story, there's been been a whole lot of songs written about her because of this incident, as well as in multiple genres, especially in within the LA and Bay Area punk scenes out there.
Wow. Whoa. That's so interesting.
Really interesting. Ooh, interesting.
So check out Patty Hearst.
I will.
Patty Hearst.
I feel like I've heard that name, but I didn't quite know like the story behind it. So thank you for highlighting that today.
You're very welcome,
Patty Hearst.
Jackie, you also have some news for us.
I do.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So we are going to be talking about, okay, right now this movie is called Queen and Slim. And it is, I'm going to tell you right this second. My computer went crazy. So we're talking about the Detective Josie, since the show is about Josie, highlighting Josie. And her real name is Jodie Smith. She has a movie coming out called Queen and Slim, and it comes out November 27th, 2019. There's some cool pictures up there. Alongside with the star of Get Out, Daniel Kaluuya.
Oh.
And it's written by the incredible Lena Waithe. Who created the show? Am I pronouncing this right? Chi? Is that how they?
The Chai.
Ah, sorry about that, guys. Directed by Melina Matsoukas. It's an amazing team at Brown Studio and Universal Pictures. And the story Queen and Slim is about a couple's first date, and it takes an unexpected turn when a police officer pulls them over.
Ooh.
So can't wait to see what kind of character she plays on this movie in November, because she's already a badass on Jet.
She is.
I can't wait for this.
That sounds so good. And the cast, like, it's amazing. Love Daniel and Lena Waithe is amazing, obviously. Yeah. That's going to be awesome. We here at AfterBuzz are going to take a little field trip to the movies, I think.
November,
yes,
it's happening.
Let's do that, because I wrote a comment on her Instagram and then she liked it. So I know she knows what's up over here at AfterBuzz. We're going to have to bring her in.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Thank you so much for highlighting that. Love seeing whatever everyone is up to outside of the show.
That's
very cool. All right, guys, let's get into some predictions, shall we?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
This episode is so ripe with predictions. I feel like there's so many cliffhangers.
It really is.
Tatiana, do you want to start us off?
Oh my gosh. Okay, I think that Phoenix is going to get in trouble because she's snooping. And I think that Bobby is really dead and Josie is really dead, and because of that, Jackie is gonna go ape shit.
That's a good
on
guess.
Everybody.
Some good guesses right there.
That's what I think.
Oh man. Okay. I feel that Josie is gonna be alive.
Oh. Ooh, we got some arguments here.
Bam bam.
Thank you.
Yes, I do feel she's going to be alive, and Jackie is going to be by her side, even though we saw that little clip where, you know, you see her legs. That's why I feel like she's alive. I don't know why I feel like Bobby's not dead either.
It was a good point how you said that maybe Junior actually loves him, sort of.
Yeah, and he's just he tried to make Josie really super beyond scared. Like, look, I can kill the man I love, so I could kill you, too. And I feel like we're not going to see Jet right in the beginning of next episode. She's going to be like a little MIA, but she's going to, you know, surface again, because, I mean, the show is about her.
Yeah, those are good.
She's Queen Bee.
I also think that perhaps Josie might be dead, because what I was going to say earlier is since the show sort of started with Jet, like, getting back into everything because of, you know, her lover dying, like, maybe Jackie will kind of go through a similar thing, so he and Jet might work together just because they have these similar experiences.
The love triangle.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's what I'm thinking.
That's a good prediction.
And, like, a parallel of some sorts. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's just what I feel in my soul might happen. And then I think, because something I forgot to mention, Jet just really briefly clocks a picture of Charlie in the house that they robbed the car from.
Oh,
is that correct?
Right. Yes.
Mm. I think that there's going to be some kind of like turf war between Charlie and Junior before this, you know, season ends. Because I think it's just, that's kind of what it's building to, like the father-son showdown. I think there's going to be a lot of blood, a lot of mess, a lot of casualties, because they're both very stubborn, and we have seen that they both can go a little bit crazy in certain ways.
Who does Nolan work for? Who is Nolan doing this job for? Because he said, right?
Evans to do it, right? He, like, came to him with the proposition?
Right. Okay, yeah. So he's basically in cahoots maybe with Russian man.
Yes. It's like, that's what the wild part is, because he's in cahoot with the Russian man, but then it's like...
So the Russian man knows, and him and Charlie have a beef with each other.
Yeah.
And now they're in the house, and they see a picture of Charlie.
Exactly.
So it's all connected.
It is all connected.
Yeah, who's on whose side?
Yes.
I don't know. Well... I don't know.
Mm-mm. But, like, really? Like, I know we, like, quote-unquote know, like, I think there's stuff under the surface going on.
That's why Jack gets a little bit, like, weirded out when she's walking in that living room and she sees, like, Charlie's picture. Mm-hmm. She's, like, in her mind, like, what?
Too many things are crossing between Charlie and this Russian man.
This man is, like, yeah, she's got her thing going on with him, but that's because, you know, she owed him a favor, basically.
And then we also have Benny and... Rosalie,
we didn't see
this episode. I think we saw briefly on the promo.
Yes,
something's gonna come into play there.
I think Rosalie is gonna. I think she's snapped.
I'm ready. Honestly, I'm ready.
I think she's like, Rosalie is gone and she needs a new name.
Can't come to the phone right now. Yeah, yeah. The old Rosalie cannot come to the phone right now.
I think she's snapped. She's been through enough.
Oh, I'm so ready to see this.
I want to see Benny playing out. Be happy.
Oh, yeah. He deserves it.
We like Benny.
We do.
Yeah, we like
for Benny. Now.
For now.
We'll see. Guys, thank you so much for joining us for this insane episode of Jed. We will see you guys next week, next Sunday, same time, same place. Before we go, where can everyone find you guys on social media?
I am at Tatiana Marisa on all social media platforms. I also am on Divorce on Monday nights here at AfterBuzz TV.
Awesome.
Nice. You can check me out at JackieNova7. You can go to oxfilms.us. You can check out my movie trailer, Art of Deception, on that. And I am also here 9 o'clock at night with Bring the Funnies.
Awesome. You guys can find me on Twitter, Elphaba_Ann, on Instagram at Taylor_Gates_. I'm also on the Sweet Better After show at 7 o'clock tonight. Tune in for that, and we will see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Jet Setters.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.